Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1 on this Mother's Day, a very well-known story for those who have been in the church any length of time. But before we talk about Hannah, it's important to set the stage. As God's people, we are commanded to worship the Lord. We are commanded, and it is also the desire of our hearts to worship Him, to gather together, to honor and praise His name. We're also commanded to gather together as His people to edify and encourage one another as we worship God and as we praise His name. But this morning, we're here for a third reason. On this Mother's Day, we desire to thank God for one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us, and that is our mothers. Honoring our mothers is a command as well as a desire of our hearts. When we choose not to honor our mothers and or our parents, we are breaking the command and we are rejecting God Himself. The command is clear. Honor your father and mother that this may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So it is good and it is right to honor our mothers as we give thanks to God for them. Now we thank God especially for godly mothers, for there are few things more powerful in this life than a faithful, godly mother. And more wonderful than a mother's love for her children. No matter where you are today, your mom's here, your mom has gone on, or you're in whatever state you are, we have the ability to rejoice and praise God because He has given us godly mothers. And the lessons that we learn from them are lessons that we are to pass on to our children so that they can grow and bring honor to the glory to God as well. Read with me 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeraham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penina or Peninnah, however you want to pronounce that. Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Penina his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, then Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord. I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, his Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him only. May the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Again, Father, we listened to this story. Many of us have heard it for years. So, Father, we pray that we would hear it anew, that your Spirit would open our hearts and minds, illuminate us, that we might hear the blessing for each of us, a blessing that we can take from here to others, especially today for our mothers. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, 1 and 2 Samuel in the Hebrew Bible is one big book. And that book is basically about three men: Samuel the prophet, Saul the first king, and David, the man after God's own heart. But what's interesting is that the book begins with the story of a woman, an infertile woman, no less. One, of course, who would receive a great gift from God, Samuel. So today, looking at Hannah's life, we will learn at least four lessons, four reasons, if you will, to give thanks to God for our mothers. The first is that godly mothers overcome. The second is that godly mothers pray. Godly mothers have righteous priorities. And godly mothers follow through on their promises. So let's look at this first, mothers who overcome, verses 1 through 11. There was a certain man of Rathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, Elihu, Tohu, Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from the city to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were the priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year after year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she, Peninnah, used to provoke her, Hannah. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? And of course, as a man, am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Now, one of the things we're going to see about Hannah throughout this whole chapter is how persistent she is in the face of difficulty. Now, many of us know what it is to deal with difficulty on a day-by-day basis. We live in a fallen world. So Hannah gives us some things to consider on how we can overcome, how you as mothers, how we together can overcome. The first obstacle that Hannah has to deal with is her barrenness. It says at the end of verse 2, such a sad statement. Hannah had no children. It was the dream and desire of every Jewish woman in that time to uphold the commandment of God to multiply and to be fruitful. But in this case, it was God's will for Hannah to be barren, at least for now. Twice it says, the Lord closed her womb. Now, barrenness was seen as a curse by the people, a curse from God. Children were a blessing from God. So Hannah had to live with this burden, this obstacle. But she never gave up. Year after year, as we will see, she prayed the same prayer. But she had another obstacle. Her rival, Peninnah, Elkanah's other wife. And there's a whole story and stuff that we could talk about that, but we don't have time. Peninnah did what the average woman of the day would do, thinking that Hannah was cursed. Well, the obvious way to handle that is to make sure she feels cursed all the time. So she obviously makes it her job to irritate, to provoke, to cause Hannah to struggle. And the other reason was because Elkanah made it clear that he loved Hannah more than he did Peninnah. That'd be enough to provoke anybody, to be sure. Another reason why it's just not a good idea to have two wives. I'm just saying. But she cruelly, year after year, dealt with her infertility. But as obviously distressed as she was, the text says she wept and could not eat. As you read the Hebrew, the main issue doesn't really seem to be Peninnah or even Elkanah's seemingly lack of care. After all, he did say, aren't I better than 10 sons to you? Her main issue is with, because she's a woman of faith, her main issue is with God and her inability to have the son that she believes she's called to have. So she overcomes these obstacles as we go through this because she's on a mission to seek God for a son. She knew God loved her. She knew Elkanah loved her. She knew she was of great value to God, for she was one of his. She was his servant. After all, she says that three times in her prayer. She knows who she is. She knows who God is. She knows how accepted she is. By faith, she overcomes these obstacles and continues to be persistent in her prayers. Even when we'll see in a moment Eli's little struggle with understanding her as well. So we need to give thanks to God and pray for thanks for our mothers who overcome. Now, the second reason to thank God for our mothers is their prayers. Verses 9 through 16. After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now, Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost, the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give to him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah moved, and Hannah's lips moved, because she was speaking in her heart. Voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you keep on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord. I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman. For all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. A godly mother's prayers are powerful before the Lord. And Hannah was obviously a prayer. She takes her desire to the Lord over and over and over again because she is persistent. In other words, Hannah knows how to pray, and she knows to whom to pray. Something that I'm not sure we always get right, to be sure. She begins in this way, O Lord of hosts, in other words, Yahweh, the commander of the heaven's armies. You are the most supreme, the most sovereign. You are the one who has all the power. She knows how to pray, and she knows to whom to pray. But she doesn't stop praying. Verse 12, as she continued praying before the face of the Lord, she knows how to pray and to whom to pray. To pray to the one who loves her, who always has her on his mind, who has her before his throne continuously. She is his servant, much like Mary saw herself as the servant of the Lord. She never doubts her God. What an example for all of us. We don't get our way after the first or second prayer. We get upset. We go about our way. We just forget that we were praying for it, or we just don't believe God's listening at this point in time. But she was persistent. She kept praying. The prayers of a godly woman are powerful. I love this quote from Abraham Lincoln. No one is poor who has a godly mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they always follow me. They have always clung to me all my life. Why? The family worship in their home was continuous. He would have heard his mother pray from the time he was born. Didn't have TV, internet, to focus their mind anywhere else. His mother's prayers were powerful. So we should give thanks to God for mothers who pray. Third, let us thank God for mothers who have righteous priorities. Verses 17 through 23. Then Eli answered, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow, but Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now we know Hannah loved God. She was seeking a son to glorify him with. And this calling from God was so real that she prayed year after year, revealing that that was her main priority in life, her main priority. And interestingly enough, of course, a righteous priority, which came from God himself. That's how all this works. We see how God provides an answer for her request that was righteous. We see that Eli, the priest, began by counseling this faithful woman in a less than stellar way, but he finishes well. He says, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And what's her response? Not, how dare you treat me this way, even though you're giving me great words. Her response is to receive the word from her leader well. Her response is, let your servant find favor in your eyes. And later on, she'll be so excited to talk to her Lord, the leader of her church, if you will, encouraging and blessing. And that's our job as elders, to encourage and bless as well, even on the days that we get it wrong. Your job is to receive from us and receive well when the truth is given. Hannah's priorities were clear. And after a moment, Eli saw the truth. She wasn't under the influence of alcohol. She was under the influence of her devotion to the Lord. And God finally granted Eli the eyes to see and to do exactly what he had been commissioned and called to do, to encourage and to bless her with God's word. And Hannah took that blessing as from the Lord. For she then went her way at 8, and her face was no longer sad. She thanked Eli. She showed proper respect, which always, again, brings honor to God as well. Then she was set at ease by the Spirit, just like we are, because of her faith. She knew she had finally been heard by her Lord. And then, of course, we see the fulfillment of her righteous priorities. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their home in Ramah, and Elkanah knew his wife, Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. Remembered is an interesting word in the Scripture. Wherever you see that associated with God, it's important for us to recognize that this word, remembers, signifies God's active engagement and active fulfillment of his promise. Hence verse 20. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Actually, Samuel means God hears. She knew God hears. She knew God heard. When it was time to go up to the offerings for the Lord, however, Hannah didn't go. She wasn't being unthankful. She was filled with the knowledge of what she had to do to prepare Samuel to be offered up to the Lord as an offering. Now, there's an interesting word here in the Hebrew. You see the word weaned, you see the word nursed. Well, the word weaned in this particular verse goes beyond nursing. Usually a child was finished nursing after 2 to 3 years. That's the physical side of that word. But when it comes to weaned, there's a bit more going on. The word in the Hebrew means to deal fully with. In other words, she had work to do before she offered him up. She was preparing him for the work ahead. That would take 3 to 7 years. in this case. He's still a young child, 7 years old. But her job was to prepare him spiritually. That was part of that righteous priority, the righteous priorities of our godly mothers, to take care of us physically and spiritually as well. So we must thank God for mothers who overcome, who pray, who have righteous priorities. And lastly, we must thank God for mothers who keep their promises. Verses 24 through 28. And when she had weaned him, she took him with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. When they slaughtered the bull, then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said to him, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. Praying to the Lord for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord as long as he lives. He is lent to the Lord, and he," that is Samuel, "worshiped the Lord there." What an act of devotion. What an act of sacrifice of this woman. She kept her vow. She kept her promise. Our children need to see that in parents. They need to see us keeping our vows, whether that's marriage vows, whether that's membership vows, whether that's we signed a contract for our work. They need to see us keeping our promises. Be careful what you promise your children, because you need to keep your promises. And she did that. She had vowed clearly, "I will give him back to the Lord all the days of his life." So now Hannah comes back to Shiloh to keep her promise to the Lord, offering her son to him. And now there's an unfortunate choice of words again in verse 28. "Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." Not necessarily a bad word, but it's understanding this way. Samuel is always her son. But Samuel is not on loan from her to God. That's not how this works. Listen to a more literal translation. "Therefore, I also give him the one asked for by the Lord. All the days of his life, he has been and is asked for by the Lord himself." Or put another way, "The Lord gave him to me. Now I return him as demanded by the Lord." Just like Moses' parents, if you will, they knew that Moses was born for something greater, for a special purpose. Hannah knows this as well. This is the reason why she has prayed and carried and gave birth and weaned and did all the things that she did to overcome and to continue to hold on, because she knew that this was God's calling for her and for Samuel, and she was called to fulfill that. I mentioned Moses because his mother gave him up to God's purpose as well. Hannah gives her son up to God's purpose, just like Mary gave her son up to God's purpose. Another reason for the vow that parents vow in our church when baptizing our infants that reflects this decision already made. Do you hear now in this solemn and precious rite publicly express that you have already given this child to God, and you acknowledge God's right to take them from you as he pleases and to employ them as he pleases in his service to his glory? That's something as parents that we ought to be already have done before they come to be baptized, recognizing that our children are his children. And then the text ends with something that I know would have warmed Hannah's heart. "And he," Samuel, "worshiped the Lord there." What parent wouldn't be excited about watching their young child truly worshiping? I get to see it every week that I'm here. These little ones that are bellowing out the songs, or bowing their heads to pray, or saying the Lord's Prayer with all of us, or receiving the Lord's Supper. I hope all the parents here whose children do these things are excited about that and looking forward to the day that the rest of their children will do them. I know Hannah had to be excited to see this 6 or 7 year old worshiping before the Lord. What a fitting reward for this woman who has overcome, who has prayed continuously, who has held on to her righteous priorities, and who has kept her promise. But chapter 2 tells us that that wasn't the end of her story. Not just did Samuel worship there, but God blesses her. Indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. There's so much more to be gleaned from this passage. And I hope maybe you've seen other things, other roads as we've gone through here. But on this Mother's Day, we surely see these 4 reasons to give thanks to God for our mothers. Godly mothers who overcome much, who pray often, who hold on to righteous priorities, and keep their words before the Lord. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for our mothers, the godly women in our lives. Pray that they would continue to be the reflection of your light to us and then to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.